Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show on talk808.com. Thank you for joining me and hope all is well with all of you out there. And New Year's just arrived and we hope to have a decent conversation today. I have Marcia Joyner with Cannabis Chronicles, a 10,000-year odyssey, and basically what they say, where we explore the plant which we get food, fiber, and medicine from. And I also don't leave out the part for the recreation. But anyway, again, I'm happy to have all you listening in, and I've gotten a number of emails. And thanks for all those tips. I'm working on them. I'm trying to farm them out and do some background info on them. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all that you guys send out to me on the DLNR and the other agencies. But it's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing what develops. This year, the legislature's approach to everything, solving our problems. But I'm a little leery of them because you go over to the big house or the state capitol, and, you know, it's funny. When these guys first get in, they're barely making it. You know, they have faded ties and jackets that don't fit and just, you know, and they're a little nervous, and the new kid on the block, and then 4, 5, 6, 7 years later, they stuck in the office there for a while. They become power brokers. You know, case in point, Donovan De La Cruz. I mean, if the truth be told, that all of the things that he's involved in now, and they're shady and shaky, I think that I'd like to say to him and others, that if you are playing around with the government money or the people's money, just be assured that your time will come. If you're stealing from us and you're playing games and setting us, get acquiring land for certain purposes and then change in the middle of the stream on that, and so suggesting you never had any intentions of doing what was right. And the land acquisition, for example, the relationship with the his contracting and communications office and what have you. A lot of things there. So it's disheartening to see these young people grow up. And it just appears that many of them, to approach them, you got to kiss their ring. And so I don't know how they get business done the way, because I'd just be too nervous when I'm stealing from the people or playing games and manipulating things and hiring friends and funneling contracts to friends. But that's some of the things that we're going to be talking about this year coming. And I hope that many of you out there do send me as much information as you can. And we can work at breakneck speed. But we'll break our backs for you trying to get it. And because I just hate corrupt government. I mean, nothing worse than that, than rotten eggs and corrupt government. And you just never know who it is that's going to be the next candidate, you know. We have we talk about the chief of police and these things and new revelations or things that are popping up, but it's just a lot, and we're going to keep looking at it. All right, I have Marcia Joyner online here now, and so we're going to talk to Marcia Joyner regarding the Cannabis Chronicles. And how are you, Marcia?
I am great. I am having trouble getting sound, but after your show, we'll work on the computer.
Ah, okay. Oh, but you can hear me clear now, right?
I'm on the phone, yeah. I can
all
read,
right.
But
well,
on the computer, for some reason, it doesn't like me this morning.
Well, if I had your money, you know what I would do? I'd just take that one out and give that one
get
to Carol.
One.
Yeah, give that one to Carol and then just go buy you another.
Oh, gosh. I was up until almost 3 o'clock this morning. I went everywhere trying to get the right microphone. Mm-hmm. And every microphone I'd bring home didn't work with the mixer. And I was like, I was crying, and it was too late to call you to get find out how I can get all of these pieces hooked up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you won't need them for this purpose, but later on, after the show, we'll talk and see if we can walk you through that. But
yes.
Yeah, I was thinking, well, maybe she's going to be a little delayed, and I was trying to rip into the corruption, but I put it on hold. You know how it is. It's like
Now, let's talk about corruption. I love your talking about corruption. Nobody else can talk about it.
Yeah, what is it with everybody so courteous in this town about? We see them stealing us blind, and we know it's wrong, and we know we don't like it. It's distasteful. It's not palatable. But we still deal with them as if we owe them some respect. You know, well, you got to be careful. Donovan is head of Ways and Means, and, you know, he could upset your day, you know, upset the apple cart. So you don't want to make any trouble for him.
Well, we know he can upset the apple cart. But, Carol, for as long as I've known you, we've been talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in city council and his rise to the top.
Yeah.
How many people he took to get there.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. They think that they're isolated and insulated once they get up there. But the higher you go, the harder you fall. And especially if you've got a trail of, you know, manipulating people's money and people's business and trading off here and trading off there. Like I say, when Mufi Hanneman stood over him, towered over him in Mililani Golf Course restaurant, he was boo-hooing like a little baby. And Mufi was telling him he would destroy him. And I tried to get Donovan to come forward and tell that story. But instead, I'll just keep my mouth shut and things work out for me, not for the people. And this was all regarding the rail, right? So anyway,
yeah.
Let's talk about the Cannabis Chronicle. And what is cannabis for some of the people out there that might be listening and not knowing? What is cannabis, and what is the Cannabis Chronicles?
Cannabis Chronicles is a 10,000-year odyssey where we explore the plant that gives us food, fiber, and fabrics of 10,000 different, 50,000 different products come from that plant, as well as cannabis and medicine, cannabis and religion, cannabis and cultures that go back to ancient China. And so it's an opportunity to explore and learn about all of these things. We get hashish, marijuana, and hemp come from that plant. And all of them have different meanings, different uses. It's amazing that we even go back, and there are references in the Bible, but I guess I should say that we do get cannabis and religion, and cannabis and dear old Uncle Sam,
mm-hmm.
because cannabis has been around, like I said, for 10,000 years. So the show has been an opportunity to learn all about this, even to how we got the word marijuana, which, of course, Hawaii is the only state who legally changed the name of marijuana to cannabis. because marijuana is derogatory. And it was created to talk about the Mexicans who came into America to work. So you know how that goes. They look down their nose at them. And so that was, so it is the same thing as marijuana, but like I said, the state of Hawaii was the only state to legally change the name, to go back to its original name. And it has been around, like I said, for 10,000 years. So we have been on this trip, on this odyssey to learn all about it. And now that with the Farm Act passed just this year, the state is going to legally grow hemp. Now, hemp is, while it's, there are at the base, they are the same plant, but they come from different parts of the plant. And with hemp, it's a fiber. And it's used, you can make concrete out of it. You can make toilet paper. You can do fabrics, dresses, shirts, anything. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's 50,000 different products that can be made. And the one I think I'm really excited about, it can be the fluid or the fuel that drives 3D printers. So we're into a whole new world of the possibilities of hemp. Uh-huh. And at the hemp conference just last month, people came from all over the world because, of course, anything named Hawaii, people want to come. So that's the basis of learning what it is, how it is, how it's used, and how it is not used.
Uh-huh. So now are we, when we say hemp, and marijuana, how do we discern or distinguish the two or separate the two? Because one is for clearly mind altering or whatever it is, smoking certain types of marijuana. What is the status of that? Are we going to be able to go in and use it for medicinal purposes, or is it going to be like Colorado where you can actually use it over the counter and sell it for recreational? And separate the two, or what's the, can you give some clarity?
In Hawaii, at this point, it is only for medicine, for medicinal purposes. And there is a bill before the legislature to do what is gently being called adult use, which is an interesting phrase, but because these other states have made so much money selling cannabis across the counter, everybody looks and says, we ought to be doing that. You know, uh-huh. We really ought to be making money like that. Now, my issue, of course, is that because of the feds, cannabis is a cash business. So if you go to the dispensary and you have a 329 card and you go to the dispensary, you have to pay cash. The insurance companies don't insure because they are federally licensed. The banks don't allow you to have transactions because the feds say this is a drug, mm-hmm. as opposed to a medicine. So there's a lot of stuff that still has to be worked out, because if you're buying all of these things legally, but now the business has all this cash, so they got to hire security to get you to your car, but nobody doesn't take your what you just bought. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of things that still have to be worked out. The legalese, even though it's legal, the medicine is.
Let me
ask. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. When did the magic wand, or who waved the magic wand to say that marijuana is now legal and you can smoke it, although it was an overnight? I know there was a struggle to get it, but many people, especially people of color, went to jail for having a damn roach clip and all of that. And now all of a sudden, is it that certain segments of the human race was able to manipulate things? And at one time they were enforcing and criminalizing everyone for having it and incarcerating. And now all of a sudden they own the shops. How did that... I'm just trying to... I'm curious. All of a sudden this magic wand was waved and now it's a perfect... How do we deal with that?
Now, for years, especially hemp was used in the United States. And what is his Hearst, the newspaper?
William Randolph, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they were making paper out of hemp. But he had a huge estate with lots of trees, and he is printing newspapers. So he decides to do some sleight of hand with the FBI, of which he had contacts, to make it illegal. So now you got to make paper out of his trees, or his newspaper, rather than making it out of hemp. So then it becomes illegal. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff. But in Hawaii, to actually get the medicinal product goes back to I don't know how far back, but in my memory, 2002, when it went before the legislature and finally got passed, when there were enough studies and enough things to show that this is good for medicinal purposes. And in fact, in 1949, the United States government owned the patent on medicinal marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been, you know, playing sleight of hand as they always do. And that's the kind of thing. But it took a long time to get it through the legislature to reach a point where people are seeing the benefits of not just people on the corner smoking, but the benefits of how it helps with all kinds of ailments and problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to profess to know all that it does, except that my husband, as you know, Kenneth, he has residuals of Agent Orange, which most people that were in the military during Vietnam have, or that were in Nam, let me put it that way. And so for him, we use just a few drops and rub it on his back, and it really makes a difference in his, in the pain. However, now he comes from that old generation that was scared to death of this, you know. Oh, it's a, what did they say? It was a gateway drug, and we know better than that. But the best he's going to do is rub it on and use it for pain that way.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't just, because, you know, it's a mind, you know how that works.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I have a friend who jokingly, he said that he didn't have any problem with marijuana and the use of it. And he's a Vietnam vet, and he said the problem, what his concerns was getting fat. I couldn't make sense of that. And then he explained to me, he says, when you smoke it, you want to eat cookies and you want to eat. He said, call the munchies. And I said, okay, that's, he's, you know, jokingly. I watched, I think it was Cynthia Thielen, Representative Cynthia Thielen, state representative, who was advocating it. I recall she coming her coming into the hearing and talking about her son has some idea about it or something, and it was on one of the eye in Kauai, and they rejected it the first time, a second time, and she kept driving at it. And so where are we at now on that? Is that a byproduct, this the new developments?
She's been advocating for hemp for years and years. She was out there alone for so long. And you don't think of a Republican, and she's one of the old-time Republicans, you know. You don't think of her as a kind of person. And then the press made all kind of jokes about her, but she has really pushed this as hemp, as an industry, not cannabis, but the hemp. And she has really doggedly. And now, like I said, with the Farm Act and the Department of Agriculture, is giving licenses to grow industrial hemp. And that is going to be a huge industry for Hawaii. Huge. They are testing seeds in different parts of Hawaii where the soil is different, the climate is different, you know, different islands, to get a seed that I call it endemic, but I don't think that's the right word, but a seed that grows really well here. I have a friend in North Carolina who has a university, mind you, a hemp university, but they only get one crop a year. Hawaii, with its climate, can get three crops a year. So can you imagine if you are making jet fuel out of it, or biofuels, or making toilet paper? You know how many trees a day it takes to make toilet paper? 20,000 trees a day to make toilet paper when we should be using hemp. So, but those are the two byproducts, the cannabis and the hemp. However, now, you've been all over the world, and you know in the Middle East, hashish is the big thing.
Now I'm thinking back with the number of concerns that I had with this approach, like early settlers in America, in the Virginia area and those areas when they first settled, many of them came over to work, and a lot of them started farming, and tobacco became king, right? And so where they normally would grow corn and beans and rice and whatever crops they were, they abandoned those because it paid more money for tobacco to be gathered up and shipped out and sold and traded. So how are we going to guard against, we talk about sustainable farming and food. Will most of the land be used for this hot crop called hemp? And are we going to end up importing most of our veggies? Or because if you're making more money on hemp, just an observation, what are they going to do and how are they going to regulate who gets what and what percentage of is produced and what lands are used for it, right?
Well, yes, you're right.
I mean, every hillside will have a hemp field.
The issue with that, as I see it, if you're growing food to eat, it's a consumable, and as a farmer, you harvest it and you sell it, and it's immediate. With hemp, there's a different, you grow it, you have to harvest it, you have to have a buyer to do something. I mean, this process of getting it from the ground to a product is a lot more involved than growing corn.
Well, I think my point, though, is that when one draws more money, the corn farmer might abandon, if growing corn and be attracted to growing hemp. And so, this magical crop that you have called hemp, what are the impacts that it'll have? Are there, I mean, there's positive impacts. You know, we know that we can mix it with cement and make a stronger rock, a stronger building and whatever. But the question is, what happens if everyone gets involved in growing hemp and then you're going to be importing most of your veggies and your crops, you know, the edible crops?
Yes.
Which then how real much of real environmental savings are we going to recognize?
Well, first of all, I don't know the answer to that. I don't have a magic wand to look down the road.
Uh-huh.
But it's a good thought.
Uh-huh.
I think, though, for vegetables, growing vegetables, you do need good soil. This hemp is a weed. It'll grow anywhere. So you take Molokai, which has water issues, you know. It could grow, you know, there,
mm-hmm.
and not replace another crop. There are places like that. And they're testing the seeds to see what can go where.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, one of the plus, and this is a plus, and I would like to see it done, it cleans the soil. The hemp cleans the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many contaminated areas. You know, Barbara's point, how the military left that so nasty. You should be able to plant this and clean the soil. It does whatever nature does to get rid of the contaminants.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can use that plant for food, but that's what it does. There's so many nasty sites here in Hawaii that it could be a really good thing,
mm-hmm.
in terms of getting the soil to a point where it could be used for other things. But you know, you've been talking about how the military has polluted and walked away from the land here in Hawaii in so many sites.
Mm-hmm.
If it did nothing else but clean the soil, that would, in my book, that would be, in fact, I sent a letter to the city, but of course I got no response. The city has a piece of land down there, what used to be Barbara's Point, that is earmarked for a park, a city park. But the land is in terrible condition.
Mm-hmm.
But it is on the city. And I thought, well, why can't we plant hemp down there and clean up the land? Then the city could make a park out of it. But needless to say, I got no response.
Mm. Oh, is that down there where Mike Gabbard has a house there on the, got him a nice little cute little cottage there that was owned by the government, and he is either renting or leasing it from Hunt or one of those big...
I don't know.
Yeah. But, and you know...
so that's why I didn't do it.
You know,
I don't know.
Yeah, all those things that they touting about hemp. I'm curious. For example, the people in Indiana must be pulling their hair out, especially up in Lake County and Calumet and all those areas and some of the surrounding counties near Gary. You know, you can go on any ditch bank and you could find hemp growing by the forest.
It's
of
a
it.
Weed.
And I mean, when I was a kid, we used to go out of whether fishing or picking blackberries or whatever it was we were doing, if it was hunting or whatever. And you'd see big stout hemp trees, bushes. And I've often wondered, how did they say that it got out through the, it was going to be used, at one time it was used to make rope.
Right.
And
that's been, from ancient Greece, they've been doing that for ships.
Yeah.
And in fact, even when it was the rope, it was illegal in Hawaii. So from Africa, you could buy a sisal. Uh-huh. And you could go to and they got sisal, which is another name for hemp. But uh-huh. It came from Africa, and with his name, sisal. The same stuff. But They've been using hemp for rope for ships since, I guess, the Vikings went to sea. I don't
know. What's also funny, laughable, is that we have the concerns for global warming and environmental degradation to the heating of the planet, right? And on the right, the Republicans are accused of not understanding global warming or acknowledging or accepting that such a phenomenon exists. But the Democrats seem to have, if they were so open-minded, long, long, long time ago, the Democrats, if they had an open mind, clear mind about the environmental impacts and reducing impacts, negative impacts, they would have passed a bill that would have accommodated hemp, welcomed hemp. And we should be 10, 20, 30 years ahead, right? I think sometimes I say the hemp is to the Democratic Party as what the global warming is to the Republican Party. Because now all of a sudden they've discovered something, right? Like the little boy who finds a bug and, oh, look, it's exciting. Well, where the Democrats now all of a sudden their hemp is going to save the planet. It's going to do that. What took them so long?
What took them so long? But you remember now, I've been a card-carrying Democrat for most of my life.
Is your card made of hemp now? That's what I want to know.
It should be made of hemp. since 1958, I've been a registered Democrat. Now, but in those years, we had to fight the Democrats to get a civil rights bill. We had to fight the Democrats to get a Voting Rights Act. We had to fight the Democrats to get a bill for disabled people. It was a Republican, the first Bush, that signed the ADA bill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a fight from within and without all of these years to get the things that the Democrats have finally come to a position of taking credit for, but it's been a long, long fight,
mm-hmm.
especially when you like me. There were as many Democrats who were against the Civil Rights Act, if you remember, the Voting Rights Act. When Johnson signed it, he said, well, we lost the South for a generation, which is true. So the question is, why haven't they stepped up to the plate? That's a good question.
I've just offered that in, as a point of comedy to just kind of like dig at them. They all of a sudden, they're the real environmentalists now. And they, you know, over here on the left, we understand that the global warming, the icebergs are melting and drifting down into Mississippi. We even got icebergs in Mississippi. Did you see them? You know, no. But what happens is that when it comes to all of this, you would think we would have been miles and miles and miles ahead with this hemp, because people do drugs anyway. Ever since I've been able to hear, I've heard conversations where, when you know, Southern boy, and how you live on the farm and in the rural area, you're told, you go to Chicago and you got to be careful, man. They smoke that marijuana. What the heck is marijuana? Oh, man.
The heck is that?
You smoke that stuff and you'll be flying. You know, it's like, really? You know, I don't want anything to do with that.
this whole thing of the myth around it,
mm-hmm.
you know, this, for instance, the craziest thing, this is just as insane, is locally, the rules about dispensaries. Now,
mm-hmm.
this is where they're selling medical cannabis. And it's a dispensary with a locked door, you know, and security guards and all that. You cannot have a dispensary within so many feet or yards of the school. But mm-hmm. you can go to any school in Hawaii, and on the corner, there's a store that's selling cigarettes and alcohol. Now, I ask you, is that not a stupid, stupid law? If you can sell, and more people die of alcohol-related deaths on the highway than anything else. So whose idea was that you can't have this but so many feet from a school?
Uh-huh.
You can't just walk through the door. Kids can't just walk through the door.
Uh-huh.
This is, I don't know whose idea that was.
So the federal law is that they still recognize it as a drug, cannabis or hemp, or just it's all lumped in one category. I haven't done any reading on it because I'm not
on the hemp. They just with the farm bill just this year has declassified hemp down from a class. One down to a five, but cannabis is still a one up there with some really strange drugs and oxycodone, and all these others are classified further down because they write prescriptions, the pharmaceuticals make money, and there now. Cannabis will be a recreational product because Coca-Cola and all of those other big boys are getting into the act, and they're going to make drinks with CBD in them.
Mm-hmm.
Once they decided, and you know how they got the lobby money, they've got the big bucks.
When did they take cocaine out of the sodas? Remember?
When?
Yeah, remember?
Yeah, that's where the name comes from.
If you got the money and you got the influence and you got the party that is willing to vote for it, it didn't have to make sense, or it didn't have to be good for the environment or the human race or just the earth. If it's good for Mr. Joe's bank account, then it's good. It's okay, and we'll pass some laws and we can do whatever. But if Johnny and Chemo has a pipe or a roach clip with a feather hanging on it, well, if you don't get a ticket for having a roach clip, or you'll get a ticket for having it hanging from your windshield, you know, some nonsense.
Yeah.
My mind is still boggled by the earlier treatment of this. Now, all of a sudden, it's okay to some degree. And legislators, so maybe they should give some of the people that have been incarcerated a percentage of the revenue.
Now, there's an idea.
Yeah, I mean.
There's an idea, yeah. Now, Obama, as he was leaving office, was trying to get a bill so that those people that were incarcerated with an ounce or two or whatever would be furloughed, pardon, whatever you do. But needless to say, the Republican Congress would not go for that. But that was one of the things he wanted, was all of these people that are incarcerated for an ounce of whatever kind of thing they had. They're just taking up space. They're not violent criminals.
Yeah,
so we have violent criminals walking around because there's no space for them.
Let's not leave Mr. Clinton and the Clinton regime out about how many people sit in jail. I mean, I don't want to toss barbs at the Republicans on that subject because Hillary and Dillery and Doc and Bill were responsible for more minorities sitting in jail as we know. But
that,
you know,
that was a sin. I don't know what else you can call that.
Yeah.
During that administration, that was just a sin. What they did.
Tell me about
here we are now.
Go ahead. I want to, I'm ignorant to this subject, as I say, because there's so many other things, but CDB, the oils, and that's separate from the commercialization for recreational or medicinal purposes.
Right.
Or is it the
same?
Yes. And how is it the law written?
CBD does not have the THC in it.
Okay.
So, not going to make you high. It's not going to do any of those things that that the THC does. It's for the THC that you need a card that says, for instance, if you have some kind of cancer and you're going to need it to get you through the radiation and chemo. And this settles your stomach and it helps you through. Or if you want to come down off of the opiates, it helps you. It doesn't cure it, but it helps you come step down if you're trying to get off of it. It makes the step down a little bit easier than that cold turkey shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but that's the difference in CBD and THC.
And is it going to be open to, and careful how I say this because I don't want to confuse. When I heard about the medical use here in Hawaii and became more familiar with it, and that they were going to have dispensaries, it looked as though, and I could be wrong, and correct me, but it looked as though they'd already going behind closed doors and picked who they wanted to. Something didn't smell right.
No.
People pop up. Oh, I got a license, and I'm going to be growing this, and he's putting in for a license. Something that struck me as kind of strange. It did the entire population have access to those privileges,
or did the chosen few? I have to agree with you on that one because I have a friend who got together with a hui and they came up with money to, you know, you had to have a certain amount of money to secure a license for a dispensary. And while they were waiting and the farting around with the rules and the da da da, they lost their money just waiting. You know? So I don't know how the few were selected. I just know the horror stories of the people that were not selected.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I would find it interesting to go back and see those that did obtain or were issued or granted this permit or the license and look at their lobbying record and to see who donated to some of our local legislators. You know, these guys, they don't work for free, you know. These guys being
like
the legislators.
And people had to hustle all their friends and relatives to come up with enough money to apply for a license for a dispensary. And while they're waiting, you know, their money's not making any more money, and people lost. So I don't know how it was. I don't know who made this selection.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be interesting to find out. Like I said, I just know the people that told me what they lost.
Yeah, I just didn't have time to look at the bills that were introduced related to that and then go back and find out who came in, lobbied, and then go back and compare the donation sheets. It's doable, but I was just curious because it seems like it's a rallying point. The hemp is the thing to get excited about. Well, it's going to answer all the woes and ills of the state of Hawaii, and I'm thinking, the way things work here, a few people will get the right to farm it and grow it, and others will be penalized or punished if they are criminalized if they are caught with it outside of certain conditions or that they set to purposely deny them participation.
To get a license, I think it's $500, but you have to have at least 10 acres of land.
I got 40 acres in a mule. Think you and I can get it?
Yeah, we can get one.
With your 40 and my 40, we could have a plantation. Hemp plantation.
So I called a friend of mine that has lots of land. And I said, oh, we've got to get a license. We got to do this. I'm excited about it, young. And he said, I don't think so. And I said, what? You got the land? He said, yeah. But next to me are some growers of their own. Mm-hmm. And if my 10 acres of hemp would blossom and the bees and the birds take it over to theirs and ruin their crop, that would be the end of my life.
Cross-pollination. These are the things that when you told me you like to talk about it, I thought, wow, that would be very interesting to ask all those questions. Maybe you have read or can provide some answers somewhat. That would be the strangest thing. Here you get this certain grade or a certain hybridization or a strain, and the guy next door gets, I was wondering about the cross-pollination. How will that impact? What rules? Did they write any rules? Is that left up to the administrative process in the agriculture department? What kind? You have to grow the same kind? I don't know. Maybe it's just my little mind dabbling in something no way of understanding.
No. You're right. Because when my friend said to me about the cross-pollinization, and that would be his life, he said, now I know my friends down there are growing their own, and I am not. No. So
how are they going to guard against that, Marcia? I mean,
I don't.
Oh, is it a concern?
Yeah, that is a concern. I have a very small yard, and I have plants that show up out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normal flowering plants, and they have to come from the birds or the bees or something, because mm-hmm. I didn't plant them, but show up. So, and we don't, we live hundreds of miles away from anybody growing anything. So,
well, you might have a couple neighbors having a few plants growing here and there, and, you know.
Oh, that's another thing, speaking of plants growing. A friend of mine that I met at a workshop, Hemp 101, not hemp, but Cannabis 101, and he grows because you can grow 10 plants. So my question to him was, how do you do that when you live in a condominium? How do you grow 10 plants? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he was telling me about the growing process, which is quite involved. And this is cannabis, not him. This is cannabis. And he says, and I said, well, where do you live? What? He said, oh, no, we don't tell that. I said, why not? He said, because people feel. If they know you got something in your yard or in your apartment, people steal your plants. I said, oh, okay, so that's another issue. There's the secrecy of where you and how you're growing. Like I said, when I started this project, I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. So this whole odyssey has been a learning process.
Mm-hmm. Now you have the cannabis. What is it? The
Cannabis Chronicle.
Right, and you have on YouTube a number of shows or discussions you've had on this subject, right?
Yes, since a year and a half. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked to, because I know nothing. I knew nothing when we started it. I'll tell you how it all started. Now, you know I had been trying to get medical aid and dying passed for 20 years. And my daughter, who was a hospice nurse, she said, Mom, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about all those drugs if they allowed dying people to have cannabis, because that would emotionally get them through the process. They could eat, they could be comfortable, you know, and whatnot. But I knew nothing at that point. And that's when I decided to start this whole journey of learning. So my audience has come along with me, because we talk to the experts. You know, I don't pretend to be an expert. We talk to the experts on all of the things you just asked.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the whole point of the show, is to learn, to grow with it.
Well, the testimonies that I've witnessed and people talk about it, especially with medical problems and concerns, that you have to believe them, and they're telling you how they've had various ailments or illnesses that by being able to use the oil in whatever reason or fashion, or the hashish or the oil CDB and mixing it, I thought there should not be any further discussion of it. It should be allowed, made legal, because I turn on TV now and I see commercials for Johnny Walker Red, Johnny Walker. I see beer commercials.
Yes.
And we know that, and if we're concerned about the human health and safety concerns, that a quote drug or near drug or cannabis would bring or present, then, we know that how many people die annually from drunk driving, and don't mention the number that are maimed.
Uh-huh.
And you just turn on the TV and there's some girls dancing and guys dancing and making it look like, oh, this is it. Who need hemp when you can get yourself a shot of whiskey, right?
Now, you remember when I was working for the Hepatitis Support Network.
Uh-huh.
And more people in Hawaii had issues, liver problems, from alcohol,
uh-huh.
from drinking legal alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I guess the challenge is getting, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't treat government like it's a living and breathing entity, and start understanding it's the individuals who are part of government that sit there and make stupid decisions or dumb decisions or decisions that are based and influenced on politics and money. Because in no way in the world should we have to debate the use of hemp, its benefits, when you can buy a gallon of rum, Captain Rum or whatever rum they're advertising, or Heineken beer. It's like, God, you would think, got to have some of that, right? Without it, we can't function.
Well,
and it
don't
mention the medical issues that come with drinking alcohol.
Right. That just yesterday at Don Quixote, they have, this is what I saw yesterday, they have a refrigerator, a real working refrigerator. That's the tiniest thing you've ever seen, and it holds a six-pack.
Hmm.
And then show you that the beer, the six cans of beer in it, it's a refrigerator, and you can take it in your car and plug it into your
cigarette lighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean it's not USB charged?
Yeah. And it's a functioning refrigerator. And what are they selling it with? A six-pack. So here you got it plugged in the car, and the police stops you. What do you do? Take out a can and say, here's, this one's for you.
Yeah.
You know? This one. Yeah, no, that industry's just gone wild.
And if we believe the people that give these testimonies, and I don't think a person would lie and say, well, you know, I feel better. I have cancer, but when I smoke marijuana or use the oils, I feel better and it relieves me of my pains. Who am I to say no, and who is the government to say you shouldn't be able to do that or have it? And Schedule One drugs, let me tell you, if you're really concerned with people making drugs, go get them, hunt them down, the ones who are making ice and with, you know, that kind of drugs and selling opioids and through the back door, go to the dispensaries at the pharmacies.
The opiates are legal,
mm-hmm.
and they're not a Schedule One.
Mm-hmm. And you why not?
Because the pharmaceuticals make so much money on them.
Mm-hmm.
Big Pharma makes a lot of money.
How do we free ourselves of these influences? I mean, we shouldn't have to wait and struggle to have people that are sick and ill and struggling with pain every day. And I mean, by giving him a marijuana joint or giving him an oil or allowing him to eat it in foodstuffs, what's the government going to lose on that? I can't fathom that. I can't understand. What is it that the prohibition seek to accomplish when it comes to marijuana or hash or...
Well, you know, California was making so much money, they had to hire more tax people in the tax department just to handle the taxes made on it.
Mm-hmm.
Those states that are selling it, that are legal, the state is making so much money
mm-hmm.
on it. So it seems to me that if that's the case and it's provable, then what's taken Hawaii so long?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, go ahead. Go ahead.
What did you say, dear?
Well, I was going to say, I was looking at the other day volleyball at some of the colleges, and I thought I saw advertisements for beer. And I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, gee, if that's the case, why don't you allow people to, and will it get to that? That's what I'm getting to. Will it get where we will soon be seeing commercials about marijuana? Or is there a prohibition against that even though they legalize it basically and have the use of it, some restrictions, are they or will they, what are the stance on that? Or are they going to allow it to be advertised?
Well, right now, the dispensaries cannot advertise. If I wanted them on the show and informational, if it's educational, they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But just to say, come to my dispensary because we have the best, da 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 da,
mm-hmm.
they cannot do it. Yeah.
Wow.
But if it's under the guise of education, they can do it.
Mm.
So
that's a little thin line there and a tightrope that you got to walk.
Yes. Yeah. So, that's except, of course, well, if you have an allied product, for instance, if you are manufacturing packaging for the dispensaries, or if you are the lab that tests the cannabis, those people can, but the actual dispensaries cannot.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's the difference. And then the laboratory, Steep Hill, got the license. Now, I like the people at Steep Hill. They have been wonderful in most of the stuff I've learned has come from them, because they test all of the cannabis that all of the dispensaries sell to be sure there's no mold, no heavy metals, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, but they came from California, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That we could not create a laboratory here that was, but they, the Steep Hill is the name of the lab. And they, like I said, they're absolutely wonderful human beings, but somebody somewhere else got the contract to come to Hawaii.
And I'd love to see the history and the travel of these people that went and negotiated on with these people, or were the conduit for the people that live outside of Hawaii that were able to establish themselves from afar, from a distance, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm very curious, and maybe that's a good story one day to see. How did they get involved? I saw some names that they weren't local names. They weren't local familiar companies or anything, individuals. How did they get, and who were they using in the office here to steer and guide them in the lobbying?
But, yeah.
And well, the only reason I'd be doing that is to make it a level playing field for people to, if it's a business adventure, and because it would be creating a climate where it'd be affordable for a lot of people, because just because it's available, some people still can't afford it, right?
Oh, my. Yes. You can't believe the prices. It's like, eek.
And so what do you do? Will your insurance pay? That was it before we run out of time. Will the insurance pay? Or can you? What about that in that discussion?
No. No, because the insurance companies are federally licensed. No. Mm-hmm.
Dang.
They don't.
Really?
Really.
So you got this magical, miracle product. And I say miracle because I know people that use it for medicinal purposes. And I don't think they have any benefit to lying to me or anyone else. I smoke that because I feel better. You know.
Or for children that have epilepsy, they can have a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to smoke it. Mm-hmm. You can put the tincture on your tongue, and it does whatever it does. The feds really have a lock on it. I don't usually drink, but I bought a bottle of champagne, and when Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. Now, you're from the South. You know who Jefferson was, and Beauregard. You know the names.
Yeah, I'm getting mad at you all as you talk. You got to remind me of those guys.
Yeah. When he left office, I bought a bottle of champagne, just the two of us. A toast to getting rid of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. Mm-hmm. You know how deep that nastiness is in his DNA?
Mm-hmm.
God. And he was part of the problem with the cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the problem. So not that any of these other people Trump will appoint would be any better, but...
Mm-hmm. But
Are we running out of time?
We don't run out of time. The hour is up, but if you want to continue, we can and take a break, 5 minutes, come back. But I want you to tell me about the Chronicles and how you get access to it and what is it. And you're going to be doing a show. Scheduling. We'll schedule the hours. We still hadn't decided which hours you want,
Well, I want to talk to not just me, but talk to to the experts in the field, patients, dispensary people, the hemp people that are leading the charge, all of those people, the experts, because I'm not the expert, so that we learn and we get to see what's going on with the legislature, where we are with reciprocity. That's another subject that we really need to talk about is medical tourism. And if we have reciprocity, how much money that'll bring into the state.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole bevy of things. And I am going to the expo in February, Cannabis Expo. Cheech and Chong will be there, incidentally. And we'll get to meet lots and lots of experts in different fields. We also have a person to talk about veterans and how they use cannabis for PTSD. So we have so many people with so many skills.
So now, if they're using for PTSD that in veterans, are they getting prescriptions through Tripler or through medical?
No.
Because
no.
It's a federal facility.
It's a single problem, yeah. No, but there are two different cannabis businesses that, are designed for veterans, to take care of veterans, to see that they get the cards, and so that they have to go, there's no discount on the cost of going to the dispensary. But they get them through what the veterans need, and they are veterans serving veterans. So that's a really interesting to talk to a veteran that's been through some real heavy shit and then see what this has done for them. So those people are really interesting to talk to.
How do people contact you? What's your phone number? You want to give that out, or you got the email you want to give to them?
Well, yeah, my phone is 808-741-4612.
And your email?
And is Mr. Joy, MRJOY, at hawaii.rr.com.
Okay. And we'll get together, and then we'll post up when you pick your show, the hour.
Yeah.
So.
And we've got to call the computer genie to, I got all of these cords and microphones and boards and stuff, and I can't get it to work. So we got to call the computer genie.
It'll be easy. Don't sweat it. It's not that difficult. But anyway, we're going to shut off here now, and we'll talk again soon. And you're going to be doing the Chronicles, Cannabis Chronicles on and talking. And that's going to consist of various interviews with people and talking, or how is that going to be structured?
Yes. I'm going to on the phone, and we'll talk to various people about all of the different. I had lunch with a friend, and she has made an insect repellent out of And then I have another friend who has made a what do you call that to repel the sun? Sunblock.
Sunscreen.
Without all those nasty things that kill the coral. So there are people I've met that are doing great things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope they do a lot, because I remember someone had glaucoma, and I was trying to think, it was a friend of mine's mother or aunt. And it helped her. That's the testimony they give. And I don't have any proof of it, but I can't believe anybody would lie if they're ill and benefiting from it. So I think the government should reevaluate, especially with this scheduling, if we're going to allow booze to be sold in any form or fashion now. And how many people are dying? So why are we prohibiting or have such strict rules on marijuana when, in fact, you can kill yourself with a bottle of booze?
That's right.
And just walk in any 7-Eleven, or as long as you go before 2 o'clock in the morning, or some stupid rule like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it is crazy because the federal government bought the patent in 1949 on marijuana. And if you read the patent, I'll have to go get the patent number so you can read it. It tells the things that it cures. Mm-hmm. And that was 1949, and the government owns the patent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, and insects don't like it anyway. That much,
no, they don't.
You know.
Yeah.
All righty, well.
So, anyway, sweetheart,
okay,
thank you. It is always a pleasure to talk to you about any number of things. So.
All righty. Well, thank you, Marcia Joyner, the Cannabis Chronicles. Okay.
Cannabis Chronicles.
Thank you.
Yes.
Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha.
Okay, thanks you guys for listening in on the Carol Cox Show and Talk 808. That was my guest, Miss Marcia Joyner, and the Cannabis Chronicle. Anyway, I'm not going to present myself as knowing anything about the cannabis debate other than the concerns of the farming and who got the rights to it and what have you. I'm always interested in that. The rest of it, if someone's able to say, as I've emphasized, the claim is that they're benefiting medically from this, then we should make a clear path for them to have access to that. Because you never know when you start aching. And even the feds and the federal guys and the regulators and the non-fed that regulate this, you know, put some more effort in catching some of the drunk drivers or the people that are robbing folks you know, that would be worth it. But this cannabis thing, the debate is, there's also some, I get a bad taste in my mouth as the way things unfolded here in Hawaii. It seems that certain people got special favors, and that's just my suspicion. Or just overnight, you know, it became a big business, and it didn't seem to be beckoning for everybody to participate. So we'll talk to you later, and take care. Aloha.